My next guest has written a piece which we have up on LarryElder.com called Elites Against Western Civilization. Please welcome back to the program Joel Kotkin of Chapman University, Orange County, Executive Director of the Houston-based Center for Opportunity Urbanism. Joel, how you been?
Okay, how are you?
Not too bad, Joe. I thought about your piece the other day. I have a friend who is a Trump-hating Democrat, and I insisted that he's in the bubble. And he responded by saying, no, I'm not in the bubble. I play golf with two Republicans who have the same attitude towards Trump all the time. And I wrote back. I said, how many Joe Sixpack Republicans do you think play golf with partners at law firms, with CEOs of corporations? He didn't. He thought that was a sample indicating that he was in touch.
Well, that's very typical. And, of course, it's something you see, you know, particularly with the media. You know, everybody that you know in the New York media in their 20s is like somebody who, you know, took, you know, women's studies at Wellesley. I mean, and that's their, you know, that's their focus group.
Now, Joe, before we get into your article, I want to ask you where you stand now politically. Are you still a registered Democrat?
No, I am now a registered independent. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't take it anymore. I felt, frankly, as an old social Democrat, you know, basically in my politics, that the Democratic Party was worse for the middle and working class in many ways than the Republicans. And clearly what they've done is they've, particularly here in California, they've adopted policies that are just, you know, moving us towards a kind of feudalism. And I just felt like I couldn't identify that way. So on the other hand, I'm not ready to become a Republican.
Mm-hmm. Your article takes on what I call the axis of indoctrination. You didn't use that expression, but that's my expression. Media, Hollywood, academia. Let's kind of take them in order. You quote Andrew Sullivan as saying it's almost impossible to consider the mainstream news as anything other than a partisan tool.
Yeah, I write about that, and it with great pain. I was brought up as a journalist. I was brought up to believe that the role of a journalist, particularly a news reporter, was to inform the public. It was not to shape public opinion. It was not to lead. What I find, and I used to have a column in the New York Times every month, you know, in those days, it wasn't so bad. Today, I find I read articles, and I'll just say, well, didn't they talk to anyone who maybe had a different opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think everything is exactly the way, let's say, you know, whoever their favorite person is? No idea that the public should be allowed to be given the tools to make up their own minds. That has completely disappeared. When I read, I think it was Salon or Slate got a copy of the editor of the New York Times meetings, editorial meetings, in which he said, well, you know, Mueller didn't work, so now we're going to turn to race. Like, you know, I mean, it's this sort of agenda setting, which is frankly very, very much more like what the media was under Lenin and Stalin or under Hitler than it was the media that I grew up with. Now, of course, there's always been some bias. I worked for the Washington Post, and it was a liberal newspaper. But I can tell you, when I put my opinions in a piece, my editor at the time, Richard Harwood, said, nobody gives a fill-in-the-blank mm-hmm. about your opinion.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about that, Joel Kotkin. Did you stop writing for the New York Times because you became increasingly disaffected with the left?
No. I mean, basically, you know, it's like paraphrasing Reagan's old story. It wasn't that I left the New York Times or I left the Washington Post or the L.A. Times. They left me. They're no longer interested, I think, in views that are either not along the progressive party line or are views that they can easily denigrate, you know, get some sort of, you know, Koch-style libertarian and get them to say things that they can easily knock down. Because I argue from the basis of an old Democrat, and that's really subversive.
Mm-hmm. You point out in your piece that 7% of U.S. reporters identify as Republican, just 7%. I've made that argument many times. But you also said this, quote, the ongoing media takeover by tech leaders is sure to accelerate this trend. Nearly two-thirds of readers now get their news through Facebook and Google, platforms that often curate or eliminate conservative views, according to former employees. It's not just conservatives who think so. Over 70% of Americans, according to a recent Pew study, believe social media platforms censor political views, end of quote.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the case. I mean, look, I take a look at, you know, when I'm going online and I'll look at Yahoo. I would say the anti-Trump, and I don't like Trump at all, but the anti-Trump stuff is three times as great, at least, as the pro-Trump. And even basic pieces of news like the economy is doing well, that African Americans and Hispanics are doing better than they've ever done, this is buried. And I think it really is a disservice even to the person who is an anti-Trump person and a progressive, because you really don't know why people may end up voting for Trump. Maybe they're going to vote for Trump. Like I was just
Joel, we're going to take a break right here. We come back. I want to ask you to finish your thought, and then I want to talk to you about Hollywood and academia. Joel Kotkin, the article is called "Elites Against Western Civilization." Larry Elder.
And now, here's Larry Elder.
Hey, Larry, I know you have a lot on your plate, but what happened to Jesse Smollett? What happened to the FBI was investigating that mail fraud? They got the same FBI agents that were working on Hillary? What takes so long?
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. I'll look into it. I know they have a special prosecutor there who's investigating this, but I don't know what happened to the FBI angle. I will look into that. Now, you've all helped build MyPillow into the fantastic company it is today. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. You can now get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including on the MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and a lot more. They're bringing back the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. And recall, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. So go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free. Enter promo code Larry or call 800-890-1843 for these great radio specials. The article we're talking about is called Elites Against Western Civilization. The author is Joel Kotkin. Joel, about Hollywood, you talk about the divide between conservatives and liberals. And you quote a liberal columnist named Jonathan Chait, who says that the community has now become pervasive, if not total liberalism, end of quote. Do we have Joel?
Lived in Southern California, and I've lived in the Hollywood area for most of that time. It's pretty true. There are a scattered number of conservatives or, you know, sort of traditional liberals left, but the media is really at a point now where, you know, I'm an old Star Trek fan, so I tried to watch the new Star Trek. It was so PC, it was almost impossible to watch after a while. And really, you just didn't give it any credibility. I mean, it was, and I think this is across the board. And of course, what's interesting is you're finding the talk about the golden age of television is being now. But the Emmys and, of course, the Academy Awards are being ignored. And the only movies that seem to be getting big audiences, generally speaking, are basically comic book stories. You know, people around this country don't want politics in every single part of their lives. As, you know, we know with ESPN, they really suffered because they decided that, you know, instead of listening about, you know, football, we're going to listen to politics. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think that was so popular. So, you know, it's a strange thing. And of course, Hollywood now can get away with some of it because of the way that the product is now sold. You know, it's not just box office, so they can do it through streaming. So, but the reality is the industry, if you are an outspoken conservative, and you're not Clint Eastwood, you're going to have a hard time.
Joel Kotkin is my guest. Again, the article is up on LarryElder.com called Elites Against Western Civilization. Joel, did you happen to see any of the Ava DuVernay miniseries about the Central Park Five called When They See Us?
No, I didn't.
I'm sure you heard about it.
Yes.
They purport to show the claim that these kids were denied food, water, access to bathroom facilities, access to their parents, access to lawyers. every one of the interviews of the Central Park Five is up on YouTube. You can see it just for yourself. None of that happened. They also claimed there was no physical evidence. There was plenty of physical evidence. I interviewed the lead detective, whose name is Eric Reynolds, Joel, and neither Ken Burns, who did the documentary purporting to show that they're completely innocent, nor Ava DuVernay interviewed the lead detective, for crying out loud. By the way, you happen to be black.
Well, this is one of the, this goes back to the journalism point. What I always say, it's not fake news the way, you know, Trump talks about it. It's crimes of omission. It's reporting one piece of news but not another. Reporting when the weather is warm but never saying something when the weather is below normal. Everything is a product of either Donald Trump or climate change, whether it is or whether it's not. And then if there's any contradictory evidence, you just don't report it. And it's as an old journalist, I find it as offensive when I read it in Fox News or in the, you know, what's left of conservative media, as I am with the progressives. The difference is the conservative media is fractured and fights with each other and does what writers should be doing, which is squabbling, as opposed to following essentially a kind of quasi-Stalinist party line.
Mm-hmm. Joel, we're going to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about academia. You say a study of the top 51 colleges find that sometimes liberals outnumber conservatives as much as 70-1. And is there any news outlet that Joel Kotkin trusts? Larry Elder, Joel Kotkin, do not leave town.
All across America, The Larry Elder Show. Slip sliding
away. Rhythm. Yes, dear sir, to guarantee President Trump's election, we have to go back to paper ballots, all righty, and then you have to confirm your citizenship. And also, when you hear all this other stuff, how come every time you go to the junkyard, when you're trying to sell your scrap, you have to prove your identification? Bless you. Have a good day. Thanks.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder. ReliefFactor.com studio. Our last few minutes with Joel Kotkin. His website is Joel, J-O-E-L, Kotkin, K-O-T like Tom, K-I-N.com. Book is called The Human City, Urbanism for the Rest of Us. And his article we've been talking about is up on my website. It's called Elites Against Western Civilization. Joel, you also talk about academia. I mentioned that you say that the proportion of liberals to conservatives range at least from 8-1 to as much as 70-1, depending upon the college campuses. At some colleges like Wellesley, Swarthmore, Williams, the proportion is 120 liberals for every one conservative.
Well, that sounds pretty balanced.
And this is another one I want you to comment on. Quote, once a largely college phenomenon, progressive ideology is now being pressed upon elementary school students, a development that could transform our politics permanently, close quote. Tell us more about that.
Well, when you look at what's happening now, when you see the attitudes of younger people, even before college, but certainly by the time they get to college, it's like they've gone to school and been, in many cases, simply indoctrinated. And by the way, not just public schools. I was talking to a good friend of mine whose daughter is going to Hebrew Day School in Los Angeles, and he feels that she's just being indoctrinated all the time. I mean, there are certain things that simply you can't discuss, and you're starting to, you know, when you have situations where, let's say, transgenderism is being pushed as a nice lifestyle for on kids who are 10 years old. I don't know. There's something a little bit off here, and I think that this of course you have to understand who. Where are the teachers going? Who's educating the teachers? It's the same thing with journalism. If 90% of the journalism professors are basically adopting the party line, what do you think is going to happen? You know, the journalists are going to be brought up to do things. You know, I read a great deal about the Soviet Union. My family is from Russia originally. And, you know, this is very much the way the arts and the academia worked in the Soviet Union. And I'm seeing some of that when I go to China now, too. You have to sort of adopt certain things, and you can't really challenge them or else you're going to be excluded. Now, there are still some great universities where that doesn't happen, University of Chicago, and you know, I'm very proud to say Chapman University. Mm-hmm. You know, we still encourage free speech and debate, but it's not so easy in this environment.
Joel Kotkin, is there a media outlet, a media organization that you think is trustworthy, that is truly fair and balanced?
Well, I would say the best news coverage is the Wall Street Journal. I'm not talking about the op-ed. They tend to be straight ahead. They obviously have the prejudice that come from being in New York or being a business publication, but they're pretty straightforward. What I find is when I read stuff, I try to find what the original source is and go to the original source. Or if I can't get that, people I work with either on the economic or the demographic side, I'll say, hey, is this really happening? Does this make sense? Because so many of the stories are just, they're just asserting things with having done no research. You know, like, you know, the typical thing would be your Fortune magazine writer, you know, from Wellesley who decides that young people hate the suburbs because everybody at the coffee shop in Greenwich Village feels that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just, look, there are some great reporters, some of the best analysis. For instance, in politics goes from my friend Tom Edsel, who's at the New York Times, but always cites what he's doing. You always learn something. And on the right, you have a guy like Mike Barone. You always learn from reading what Mike does. But so many of them, I don't even bother reading them because I know what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there are some people, some people at The Atlantic who do some very good work. There are some, good people at The New York Times who do some very good work. But you have to read it as if, in some senses, you're having to curate it for yourself. I think it's particularly bad with the younger reporters. The older reporters, I think, were brought up with some sense of fairness, just like the older Hollywood executives have some idea that there is an audience out there that isn't like their neighbors in the Hollywood Hills.
Mm-hmm. Joel Kotkin, you said earlier in the interview, quote, don't like Trump at all, close quote. Nothing? Not his push for choice in public education, not the prison reform that he's done that even Obama didn't do, not the low black unemployment rate, not his anti-open borders agenda, not releasing some of these people behind bars who committed non-violent drug offenses but got very lengthy sentences, copyright reform, Melania, nothing?
I didn't say I was against everything that he was. There are some things I like. There are some things, for instance, where I disagree with the traditional Republicans. I think, I've spent a lot of time working on China. I think what he's doing, some of his initiatives are good. It's just he is such a jerk. And he is going to, and if we end up with Elizabeth Warren as president, it will be because Donald Trump is a schmuck. Okay?
I would argue, Joel, if we end up with Elizabeth Warren for president, it's because people like you vote for her. Tell me you intend to vote for Trump or sit it out in the event that she becomes a nominee.
I haven't voted for a mainstream candidate since 2000. So, mm-hmm. on the local level, I vote, on all the local ones, but, I just don't, I find him, I find him upsetting. I think non-presidential is a pretty good way to start. And I think that there's a lot of, I don't particularly think he's mentally balanced. I think he's too thin-skinned. I used to love the way, even though I was a Democrat at the time, the way Reagan dealt with criticism, with a little shrug and a little, sort of making fun of
Joe, we only have a few seconds left. Aren't you impressed that he does these press conferences one-on-one at the White House, taking on all comers?
I think he's certainly a good brawler. And I'll just say one thing about Trump. I don't like him, mm-hmm. but he's not an idiot, and he's also, as my friend, on election night, I was in San Antonio having dinner with Henry Cisneros, my friend, former HUD secretary, and he said, all of us in the Republican Democratic Party, we missed something, and this guy figured it out. So maybe he'll figure it out and win again.
That sounds like a campaign slogan. Trump, not an idiot. Joel Kotkin, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.